Go ahead and pray. I'd like to ask somebody to pray for our time in the scriptures. Amen. Thank you. Okay. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's what Jesus said. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest. When you have a big job, you need a lot of workers. We have a saying in English, many hands make light work. And there's a lot of truth to that saying. The work of the kingdom of God is an enormous job. When you just look out and see how many people there are who really do not know God, it's staggering to just look at the masses of people. And so, because the work of the kingdom of God is an enormous job, Jesus, he first says, pray for more workers. Then he sends out workers. And so, last week we looked at that. We looked in Matthew 10, verses 1 through 15, where Jesus sends his apostles out. And this week, we're going to look at it again. In fact, we might spend several weeks on this section, because there's a lot in here. And last week, I told you that really, what's going on here is Jesus is multiplying himself when he sends his apostles out to do his work. So let's read. So Matthew 10, verses 1 through 15 says this, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received freely, give freely. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Okay, So, Jesus is multiplying himself. I want to just kind of review just quickly. Remember from last week, we looked back in the past in the book of Matthew at what Jesus himself was doing. And so if you remember Matthew 4:23 and then Matthew 9:35 basically say the same thing. One at the beginning of the section and one at the end of the section. And it basically says, and Jesus went through all of the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Both of those verses are, it's almost identical. There are a couple of word differences between them, but it's pretty much the same thing. Okay, that's what Jesus did. And then we looked in the scriptures and we see him doing that. Okay, now look what he tells his disciples to do. They are, first, to go to the Jewish cities and villages. He says that in verse 5, right? These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, but go to the lost... And then look at verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who... Okay, they're going to the towns and villages in the area. That's what Jesus did. He went to every city and village in the area. Second thing there to do. Verse 7. Proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These disciples are to go to all the towns and villages in Galilee and proclaim the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And then look at verse 1 and verse 8. In verse 8 it says, Jesus says to them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. In verse 1 it says, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. That phrase, to heal every disease and every affliction, is verbatim, exactly the same phrase that we find in Matthew 4:23 and Matthew 9:35. Okay. Jesus, he taught in their synagogues, he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed every disease and every affliction. And he did this in every town and city and town in Galilee. Now he's saying to his disciples that they're to go to the cities and towns in Galilee, they're to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, and they are to heal every disease and every affliction. All the stuff we just saw Jesus do, he's now telling his disciples to do. When I say he's multiplying himself, that's literally what's going on in terms of what they're to do. So here's the progression then. Matthew chapters 5 through 9. Jesus does the work of the kingdom. He's teaching, he's preaching, and he's healing. In chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, Jesus sees the crowds and he has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he says, therefore, pray. Therefore, he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. He sees the crowds and he says, the harvest is plentiful. Pray for laborers. In chapter 10, 1, Jesus calls his disciples and gives them his authority to cast out demons and to heal every disease and every affliction. In chapter 10, verse 5, he then sends them out. He gives them authority first. That's part of the process. And then they go out. And he basically says to them, go do what I just did. That's the progression in Matthew of what has happened. And so now the focus is not so much on what Jesus is doing, but on what his disciples are doing. But what his disciples are doing is what Jesus was doing. And so he, in this, sending them out, he then gives them directions, some instructions. So if you're going to go do what I did, then, okay, here are some instructions. Last week, we looked at the authority that they are to have in order to do Jesus' work. So we're not going to talk so much about that this week. This week, we're going to look at some of those instructions. And so we're going to really talk about different principles for ministry, because that's what this is. This is Jesus is calling his disciples, sending them out to do ministry. And then he's giving them some instructions, some principles for what, how you, if you're going to do ministry, if you're going to do Jesus' work, kingdom work, how do you do it? And so we're probably going to be spending a few weeks on just some of these different principles that are coming from this section. And so Jesus is telling them, go out, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, and bring healing and restoration to the people. So if that's what we're to do, some things to keep in mind. So here's the first thing we need to keep in mind. We need to focus on the people God wants us to focus on. So look at verses 5 and 6. Jesus says, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus is saying, don't go here. Instead, go here. That's focus. And it's a focus on who? That's what the focus is. Jesus wants them to focus on a particular people group in their ministry. And so specifically here, the apostles are called to the Jews. Now, it's not that Jesus doesn't care about Gentiles. He actually does care about Gentiles. But there are reasons he is wanting them at this point to go to the Jewish people. So here's some reasons. First, Jesus himself is Jewish, and he is himself the Jewish Messiah that is promised in the Jewish scriptures. He's that guy. When you read the Old Testament and it's pointing ahead to a deliverer who is coming, it's pointing ahead to Jesus. And so he's saying, go to the people who have the book that point to me. Second, Jesus tells us himself that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And now he's telling his disciples to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Third, at this stage, because of, we'll say, cultural issues, you got to think of what ministry to Gentiles would do to the ministry of Jesus at this stage of the game. It would bring all kinds of unnecessary opposition to the ministry. And he says, we're not at the stage where we're ready for that. Let's not unnecessarily bring all kinds of hostility against us by going to other peoples at this point. And so it's a strategic move. It's not that he doesn't want Gentiles. It's that right now, given the culture and given the situation, let's start here. And so in many ways, you could say he's just being wise in his ministry decisions that he's making. Second, or actually I guess not second, fourth. The disciples themselves are probably not prepared to go to Gentiles. The disciples themselves are Jews who they're not in a place where they're ready to go minister to people who are not Jewish. In fact, in Luke 9, here's what they say about the Samaritans. So that Jesus had passed through the Samaritans and they had kind of given him a hard time. And the disciples say this, "Lord, do you want us to call fire from heaven down upon them?" Okay, Jesus is not ready to send those guys to minister to Samaritans. It wouldn't really go over very well. And so Jesus is just, this is a fit, you know. He's trying to fit who he has with who can they reach. And right now in God's plan, God's overall plan, you know, it's Paul says the gospel goes to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It goes to everybody, but there's a step-by-step process, and we're at step one right now. And so there are reasons why Jesus is saying, don't go here to the Gentiles, go here to the Jewish people. And so there are theological reasons, and there are just practical, strategic reasons to do that. Okay. Today, we're past step one. Today, God is going to call you to someone. And different people get called to different someones. And that's okay. So, you feel God's called you guys to the Muslim peoples. You feel God's called you to Chinese. I feel God's called me to internationals. You may be called to all kinds of different groups. Guys in the dorm. DBU students. Or girls in the stack apartment complex. Or you could be called to doctors or to lawyers or to business people. You could be called to minister to moms or to kids. The scope of the calling can vary in how narrow it is. In other words, I feel called to internationals, which is a broader scope than Chinese. And it's a broader scope than Muslims. But it isn't everybody. I still have a scope. And so the narrowness or the broadness of the scope isn't going to be exactly the same for everybody. I know people who feel called to native Indonesians. I know people who feel called to Chinese Indonesians. They're all Indonesians, but there are different groups within Indonesia that people feel called to. I have heard of people called to handicapped folks. In other words, we're not talking here about it's not a nationality. The scope doesn't have to be a nationality or a language. It could be a profession. It could be an age group. It could be a lot of different things. There are people called to American middle-class moms. I know people who are called to American middle-class moms. I know people who are called to reach Jews. You can think of 1,000 different groups when you start thinking of different demographics. When God calls you to a people, it doesn't mean you don't care about other people groups. I want you to think of Jesus for a moment. Did Jesus minister to Samaritans? He did, John 4, right? Samaritan woman. Did Jesus minister to Gentiles? He did. You can think of the Syrophoenician woman. You can think of the Roman centurion in Matthew 9 that we looked at just a few weeks back, right? So it's not that Jesus does not minister to people who are non-Jewish. He actually does minister to people who are not Jewish. But his focus was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, it's the same for us. You may be called to Muslims and you may be called to Chinese, but there may be a time when you guys are dealing with a Hindu and you're dealing with a neighbor. But that's not your main focus. But God just brought it and here it is. They dropped this person in your lap or, you know, whatever the situation is, and God's saying to you, hey, I want you to... That's what God did with Jesus. That's what Jesus did. His focus is the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then this Roman centurion shows up, and he helps the Roman centurion. And so, while you do love and care for all people, there may be a people group. In fact, there ultimately will be some people that he's called you to. And so, Jesus says, don't go here, do go here. What that means is there are times when you have to say no to ministry. Because if you're really going to focus on what God's called you to focus on, sometimes you have to say no to, and it's good ministry. It's legitimate ministry. It doesn't, saying no doesn't mean you think it's bad. It just means you think, I think I'm called over here, not over there. Like maybe teaching English at Capital Studios, right? That's a good example of this. And sometimes you find out you should not do something by doing it. And that's okay. That you learn from that. And so my mentor, he was called to Muslims, the guy who was my mentor. He grew up in Turkey. Spoke six languages. Had a ministry to Muslims at the time. This was in probably what is modern-day Somalia. It was kind of the Horn of Africa, that area. He was reaching Muslims. But there were other groups than Muslims there. There were a lot of tribal peoples there. And one day, a missionary came to him and said to him, hey, Tak, why are you wasting your time with Muslims? You can spend your whole life here and you will never see a convert. But come minister to tribal peoples. You come minister to tribal peoples, you will see converts by the bucket load. And my mentor said to the man, is that how I decide who God has called me to? I don't think so. That's what he said. And he stayed ministering to Muslims. And he saw very few converts. He did actually see some converts. But not as many as if he were ministering somewhere else. And so there's a calling is a calling, and in one sense, I mean, if you really know God's called you to a particular people, rest in that. If you really know it, rest in it. But let's say you don't know it. You're not sure who God's calling you to reach. How do you find out? Okay, principles for how you find out. These aren't laws. These are just kind of broad principles to follow, to find out who God's calling you to. One, walk with God. If you're not going to walk with God, he isn't really going to tell you. Why should he? You don't spend time with him. You don't walk with him. If you want to know what God is calling you to, you got to spend time with him and learn from him. And as you do that, as you walk with God, ask him, Lord, who do you want me to reach out to? And then start reaching out to people. God's very practical. And so if you just ask God and you don't really spend any time reaching out to people. Well, sometimes it's the reaching out part that he uses to show you who he is and is not calling you to. So start reaching out to people. As you are reaching out to people, keep walking with God and keep asking God. And as you are asking God and walking with God, keep reaching out to people. And put these two things together in your life: walking with God, talking with God, asking God, and reaching out to people. And it's a process. Do it over time. Just keep going. Keep walking. Keep reaching out. Keep doing this. As this happens, at some point, God may actually give you a real heart for a particular people. The people could be Koreans. The people could be at your workplace. And they may not be Koreans. They could be someone else. The people could be anything. We told you earlier, it can look a lot of different ways. And you might actually look for fruit. I told you fruit isn't the 100%. You don't always, if God has given you a calling, you're not necessarily, especially if you're working with a people group that's very hard to reach, that's not the necessary thing, but it can be something that indicates a calling. If God is bearing fruit through what you are doing as you're reaching to Chinese, let's say, you may find that that's God's way of saying, hey, I made you for this. We saw fruit with internationals as we began ministering to internationals. And that really was part of the calling to internationals, was seeing the fruit and seeing, oh, God, you're really using, when we do this, you use it. We also had a heart for him. In many ways, I have a greater heart for the nations than I do for America. And when I say that, I don't mean I don't have a heart for America. I do have a heart for America. So focus helps us be more effective. If you don't focus, that can be a problem. And so that's the first principle from these instructions Jesus gives. It's just focus on who God wants you to focus on. Okay, here's the second principle. Know your task and do it. That's the second principle. So that's actually just in the next verses. So look at verses 7 and 8. Jesus then says, proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You have received freely, give freely. That's what he says. Okay, now here, those verses, 7 and 8, are not who should you focus on. Those verses are what do you focus on? And so just look at it now. Look at verses 5 and 6 and then 7 and 8. Here's what's going on. I'm just going to kind of make this really simple. Jesus says this: go to these people and do this. That's what he's saying in verses 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Do these tasks. And then he gives them the tasks. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Bring healing and restoration to people. That's pretty simple. And we need to keep it simple. Proclaim the kingdom of God to Chinese. Bring healing and restoration to Muslims. This is the work of the kingdom. So, proclaim the kingdom of God. Let's talk about that a little bit. Really, today, this is just the gospel. Bring the gospel to folks. You know, the gospel in 5 minutes. God is righteous and holy. We're sinners. Sin and holiness do not mix. They don't mix. What that means is, if you're honest with yourself, you know by yourself there's a lot of sin. And you're in trouble with God. Unless something happens. The gospel is what happened. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ died for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. His death, the death of Christ, is the penalty for our sin. His death has removed the sin. When the sin is gone, holy and we can get together again. Because it's the sin that's the problem. The sin is gone. This is the gospel. The doors to the kingdom of God are now open in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. But Christ never stayed dead. See, this is also part of the gospel. The cross alone is not the full gospel. The cross and the resurrection, because the cross without the resurrection is just Jesus died and, well, he's dead. But the resurrection says Jesus is victorious. He's conquered death. He's conquered sin. And he's raised again. It also means Jesus is your king. He is your powerful, victorious king, the King of Kings. And that king has brought the kingdom of God. All kingdoms have kings. The kingdom of God is at hand. Well, the kingdom of God is at hand because the king has come. Christ is your king. The Christ who died for you. The Christ who has risen from the dead victoriously. That Christ is your king. And he calls us to follow him. Now, that's proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. That was probably less than 5 minutes. Those are the basics of the gospel of the kingdom. The cross and the resurrection. Proclaim them to people. Proclaim them to Muslims and to Chinese and to Hindus and to Americans and to whoever God's called you to proclaim them to. Proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Now, Scripture says that different Christians have different gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. There are several different places in Scripture that talk about different gifts for different people. What that means is, Paul uses the picture of a body. You know, one man is an eye, another one is an ear. Well, eyes and ears do different things. And actually, that's Paul's point. You know, not everybody is going to do the same thing exactly in the kingdom, within the church. People will have different roles to play in the church. And so if you are an eye, you're not going to do what an ear does. And so there is a place in the body of Christ for diversity of tasks. Some are called to apologetics. That's defending the scriptures, maybe. Defending the faith. Some are called to teach. Some are called to serve needs. Some are called to healing. Some are called to evangelism. And so hear me. Whatever the specifics are of the task you have, whether it's evangelism, teaching, and so on, proclaiming the kingdom of God and bringing healing and restoration is the overall task. That's what Jesus is giving his disciples here. That's the main thing. Proclaim the kingdom of God and bring healing and restoration to people. So what this means is God may call you, Sharon, to an English ministry. That's a task that he's called you to. That's in a sense, what shall I do, right? And he's called you to a who. You have a who and you have a what. But that English ministry exists for a purpose. And that purpose is to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring healing and restoration to people. Because that's the overall task. If the English ministry just teaches English, you need to do something else. Because that's not really fulfilling the main task. Your specific task is missing the big task. Same with accent reduction. Or, meeting with people one-on-one. Or whatever you do, food pantry, or just think of anything you can think of where you might be doing some kind of task in ministry. Proclaiming the kingdom of God and bringing healing and restoration to people in the name of Jesus Christ is the big task. That's what we're to be doing, regardless of whether we're doing something else, something specific or not. That big task has to provide direction for the specific things God has us doing throughout the week. So the purpose of apologetics then is to proclaim the kingdom of God. The purpose of apologetics is not to win an argument. The purpose of a medical clinic is to proclaim the kingdom of God and bring healing and restoration to people. The purpose of discipleship is to proclaim the kingdom of God and bring healing and restoration to people. It is not just to grow yourself. Proclaiming the kingdom of God has to be tied to everything we do. Whether it's a Bible study, or an English class, or a seminar, or a class at DBU, or your group thing at DBU, or a food pantry, or a party that we had last night for internationals. Somehow we've got to get to the task that Jesus is giving the disciples here. And so if proclaiming the kingdom of God and bringing healing and restoration to people, if those things are divorced from what we do, then from an eternal perspective, we're wasting our time. We really are. In fact, if those tasks are divorced from what we do, then what we do eternally has no purpose. So in ministry, verses 7 and 8 are the main task. Okay, so just quick review from today. Two principles for ministry. Focus on who God has called you to and know your task and do it. And that task has to somehow proclaim the kingdom of God and bring healing and restoration to people. Those are the things Jesus did. And if we're going to follow Jesus, those are the things we have to do too. Okay, so I'm going to close this way. What I want you to do is write down two things. You can write them on the back of that scripture that I gave you if you want. And what I want you to write down is this. The first thing is, who? Who am I called to? If you don't know, that's okay. Put a question mark. There is such a thing as process in the Christian life. And there, you know, that's fine. Just put a question mark if you're not sure. But write down who. The second thing I want you to write down is, what must I do to proclaim the kingdom and bring healing and restoration to people? So who and what? I just want you to spend a minute to think about that and write it down.
Can you pass me that white and orange pen there? Is that black one yours?
It is.